Our first lesson is from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2 and 12 through 14, then chapter 2, 18 through 26. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun, because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 11. Then if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Luke. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace is ours this day because of Jesus the Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today is the 8th Sunday of Pentecost. And today, once again, our readings focus our attention on how to live our lives as Christ followers. How does the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus change us and transform the way we live our lives? That first Sunday we were together, we heard the Lord call us to proclaim peace and joy. Then on that second Sunday, the Lord called us to live love. Then on the third Sunday, the Lord called us as Christ followers to stay focused on the ministry entrusted to our care. And last Sunday, the Lord called us to pray fervently. And now today, the Lord is calling us to keep our priorities straight as we live our lives for Him. Our Old Testament reading this morning reminds us that without the Lord, everything in life is empty, without any real meaning. And in our epistle reading this morning, Paul calls us to live our lives as people who are truly alive in Christ. And then finally, in our gospel reading this morning, Jesus shares with us the parable of the rich fool, calling us to keep our priorities straight, to recognize that God's mercy and grace, God's forgiveness, life, and salvation is truly our greatest treasure. So, beloved, let's dig deeper. Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Ecclesiastes. And Christianity calls this book of Ecclesiastes one of the wisdom books in the Old Testament, books meant to show us how to live our lives wisely as Christ followers. Both Jewish and Christian tradition say that Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon in his old age, as he looked back over his life and saw so much that was truly empty and meaningless. And he uses this book to reflect on what's really important in life. He shares with us what he's learned about life and the importance of keeping his priorities straight after living a lifetime of life's ups and downs. Notice the very first words out of Solomon's mouth. Vanity. Or meaningless, 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 says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Wow, that's a pretty discouraging cry, isn't it? It's a heartbreaking cry. It sounds like the cry of a depressed and cynical person who's just given up on life and is waiting to die. And beloved, the next verses in our reading this morning really don't get any better. I, the teacher, says Solomon, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that's done under the heavens. Now remember, Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. And the Lord indeed gave him wisdom. But now in his old age, from Solomon's perspective, even wisdom isn't all that it's cracked up to be. It too is meaningless. What a heavy burden God has laid on humankind. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless. Just a chasing after the wind. Then at the beginning of chapter 2, in the verses just prior to the last section of our reading this morning, Solomon concludes, earthly pleasures and worldly wealth are also meaningless. Then he goes on to say in the last part of our reading this morning that even our work is meaningless. I hated all the things I toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish. Yet they have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I've poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So should we or should we not leave things behind as an inheritance? Right? When you die, you can't take it with you. It all gets left behind. And who knows if your heirs will manage well what you've left them as an inheritance. So why bother working so hard, so endlessly, just to accumulate things that you can't take with you? So my heart began to despair, says Solomon, over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who's not toiled for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. So, beloved, if wisdom in and of itself is meaningless, as are earthly pleasures, worldly wealth, and even the work of our hands, then where can we find any kind of meaning for our lives? From Solomon's perspective, if there's any meaning in life at all, that meaning comes from God Himself. It comes from belonging to Him. It comes from His mercy and grace poured into our lives. It comes from recognizing that in Him we live and move and have our being. It's our relationship with God that gives our life meaning. A person can do nothing better, says Solomon, than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see from the hand of God, for without Him, who can eat and find enjoyment? To the person who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand over to the one who pleases God. This too, this working so hard to accumulate wealth, only to die and leave it behind for another, is meaningless, a chasing after wind. So from Solomon's perspective, if our lives are to have any kind of meaning at all, we've got to keep our priorities straight. And that, my beloved, brings us to our gospel reading this morning in Luke chapter 12. Here, Jesus shares with us the parable of the rich fool. But notice, beloved, what prompts Jesus to share this parable. Luke tells us that someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Here we see Solomon's worst nightmare in our Old Testament reading this morning. A father has worked hard his entire life only to die and leave everything behind, everything that he's accumulated, to his two sons who are now foolishly bickering over who should get what. Ever had that happen in your own family or somebody that you know? Right? This too is meaningless, a chasing after wind. And that's exactly how Jesus sees this situation too. "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or an arbiter between you? Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed." Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You've got to keep your priorities straight. Then Jesus shares this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Beloved, can you hear the echoes of King Solomon in these words of Jesus? One of the things that really strikes me here in this parable of the rich fool is the rich man's soliloquy. "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, be merry.'" Beloved, notice how often this rich man uses the first person singular. In just three short verses, he uses "I" 6 times and "my" 5 more times. And he's talking to himself. Think about that. This repeated use of the first person singular shows us this man's fatal error. He thinks of no one but himself. He doesn't even think about God. He is totally self-absorbed and completely self-centered. And this focus on himself leads him to believe he's got everything under control. He's got everything taken care of. He thinks his priorities are straight. He thinks his future is secure. But his priorities are not straight, and his future is anything but secure. And it's this self-centeredness that shows us ever so clearly that his priorities are indeed out of whack. It's his self-centeredness, his lack of right priorities, that causes God to label him a fool. "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Beloved, now let's take a look at this parable of the rich fool as painted by Rembrandt in 1627. Take a look at it in your bulletin or up here on the screen. Let's see what this painting might show us about our Lord's parable and what it means for our lives as Christ followers. Rembrandt painted this painting very early in his career. In fact, the model he most likely used for this painting is his own dad. Take a closer look at the painting. What do you see? Notice how dark the room is. There's only a single candle giving it light. An elderly man sits at a table overloaded with books and papers. Notice the page in the center far right of the painting. It's written in Hebrew. What's Rembrandt telling us with that page written in Hebrew? Could it be Ecclesiastes? I'm not sure I know, but it's a fascinating detail. If you have a thought about it, let me know. At any rate, clearly Rembrandt's focus is on the man in the center of the painting, a pince-nez perched on his nose as he carefully and thoughtfully looks at a coin. Notice how the glow of the candle makes the old man's fingers almost translucent. You can see through them. Notice how everything else in the painting seems to be kept in the shadows. what's most important to this man, he's holding in his fingers. Beloved, notice too, this man's face is also brilliantly lit. We see virtually every detail of his aged, wrinkled face, including his red nose, his right ear, and even his eyelids, as well as the soft shadows produced by his glasses, as he gazes so intently at that coin in his hand. Other coins glimmer on the desk in the reflected glow of the candle. Rembrandt was a master in the use of darkness and light to focus his viewers' attention on what he really wants us to see, what he really wants to be our focus, what he really wants us to pay attention to. This masterful use of darkness and light is a special technique with the technical name of chiaroscuro. And it's the visual counterpart to the verbal soliloquy in Jesus' parable. Think about that for a moment. It is the visual counterpart to the verbal soliloquy in Jesus' parable. In this painting, the rich man is smugly reflecting on his coin, his fortune. And you can almost hear this rich man's thoughts, the soliloquy, as you look at the painting. There's a psychological depth here in this painting that gives us so much to think about as Christ followers. We hear Jesus' parable, and through Rembrandt's painting, we can see into this man's heart. Beloved, where is your heart today? Where is your heart's focus? What are your heart's priorities? That's what Jesus wants each of us to think about this morning as he encourages us to live our lives well for him. He wants us to recognize that his mercy and grace is our most precious treasure. Indeed, he is our most precious treasure. A treasure that shapes and transforms every aspect of our lives as Christ followers. A treasure that shapes and transforms our priorities as Christ followers. And that, my beloved, brings us at last to our epistle reading this morning in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter. Here, Paul calls the Colossians and us to keep our priorities straight and to live our lives as God's people who are indeed alive in Christ. Listen carefully to Paul's words. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So keep your priorities straight. In the words of Jesus in our gospel reading this morning, be rich toward God. He is our life, now and for all eternity. So keep your life focused on him. And beloved, how do we keep our lives focused on him? Paul describes how to do this very concretely. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Beloved, this side of heaven, we're both sinners and saints. This side of heaven, we're continually putting to death all of the things that belong to our earthly nature, all of the things that screw up our priorities, that break our relationship with God and destroy our relationships with each other. Our battle with our earthly nature is not a one and done. Our battle is lifelong, as long as we're this side of heaven. But it is not a hopeless battle at all. In fact, the final victory is already ours. God Himself has made the victory sure. He has baptized us into His name, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The old self is gone, drowned in the waters of baptism. And every day, it's just a little bit more gone. And we've been given a new self in our baptism. And every day, this new self is emerging more and more. Oh, beloved, for us as Christ followers, Christ is all. He's everything. He keeps our priorities straight. He reminds us who we are. We're God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We're God's chosen people, empowered by the Holy Spirit to live our lives in ways that clearly demonstrate our priorities. So as Paul goes on in the verses just after our reading this morning, we put off the filthy stuff. And we put on the good stuff, the godly stuff. We clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. We bear with each other and forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. And beloved, over all these virtues, we put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Oh, beloved, when by the power of the Holy Spirit we keep our priorities straight, our life as Christ followers is anything but empty and meaningless. It's a life filled to the full with every good gift of grace. It's a life full of the fruits of the Spirit. It's a life full of blessing as we seek to be a blessing to those around us. Beloved, may we indeed keep our priorities straight. May we indeed nurture the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. May we indeed be a blessing to all those around us. Amen.